The second area that we need to discipline is our bodies. The Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead. So, of course, it's our spirits that animate the body. But the biological functions of our bodies do create conditions that we need to control and discipline. The Bible speaks of drives that we have to control. The first is consumption. I'm not referring to this as just an appetite for food, since consumption also includes the desire for such things as alcohol and drugs. Now, most people don't like straight alcohol. Rather, they enjoy the taste of all the fruity flavors and mixes. The problem is, if we're not careful, the body's craving for the alcohol itself will become overwhelming. The flavors no longer matter. Some consumed with the desire to satisfy themselves have been known to drink mouthwash or even rubbing alcohol just to satisfy their body's cravings. By this stage, these people have lost everything. Their jobs, families, health, and eventually, without help, their lives. And drugs are even more destructive. Alcohol can damage the brain, but drugs destroy it. Although some people are homeless because of alcohol, the majority are homeless because of drug use. When sober, most alcoholics can be reasoned with. Not so with many drug users. Even when they are not high, their brains have suffered so much damage that they are often irrational and can be extremely violent. But to be sure, the desire to consume food is the number one area of consumption in terms of affecting the most people. The desire to satisfy the hunger drive and enjoy the pleasures of taste has led to a near worldwide increase in obesity. Food gluttony is at epidemic levels, and the lack of discipline has led to many people choosing flavor over health. Processed food with hydrogenated oils have led to clogged arteries and heart problems. It's been said that processed meats are directly related to various cancers, especially colon cancer. High sodium levels contained in salty snacks, frozen dinners, and canned goods have been linked to high blood pressure, leading to strokes and kidney failure. And probably the worst and most widespread, high sugar content has led to huge spikes in obesity, which in turn can cause all kinds of deadly conditions. Heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, strokes. I've read that although sugar might not be a direct cause of cancer, it can rapidly fuel cancerous growth. Even those who are not obese can still suffer many of these conditions. So keeping our food cravings under control reaps huge benefits for us, not only in quantity of life, but to me, ever more importantly, quality of life. Another area that we need to control is our sexual appetite. Although it doesn't involve consumption and our stomachs, it's still a very real physical appetite. The Lord gave us this appetite so we would procreate and populate the earth, but equally as important, to unite ourselves with a spouse, a partner for our lives. The Bible says that it was not good for Adam to be alone. He needed a partner to help him as he fulfilled God's plan to tend the garden that the Lord had made. So don't think that sex is just about making babies. Long after having kids and your kids have moved away, husbands and wives are still to come together sexually to keep their physical and, more importantly, spiritual bonds strong. And it's because of this spiritual bond that we are not to engage in sex with multiple partners or engage in immoral forms of sex. What you're going to hear next is a portion of a recording that I did several years ago talking about what happens when the blood that is contained in the semen does when it enters into the woman.
I'm certainly not saying it's okay for men to cheat. So don't take this segment as me condoning that kind of behavior in any way, shape, or form. That being said, ladies, there's some things about men you need to realize. Look at a man's sexual appetite like you would a food appetite. Man's belly starts growling. He says, oh, I need something to eat. Now, like most men, this guy's simple. He goes down to his favorite restaurant and he orders as usual. And oh, when it comes out, it's looking good. Nice, hot, and fresh. So he has his meal. When he's done, he gets up and leaves and goes back to doing whatever it was before he got the grum bellies. Now this goes on for a long time. But on down the road, this restaurant starts cutting back on the hours it's open. When he asks why, the owner says, I'm just getting a little tired and I don't have the drive like I used to. Now as time goes on, he notices that the hours this restaurant is open are getting less and less. Shoot, years ago, he first started going there. That restaurant was open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now it's barely open a few times a week. When it first opened, there were all kinds of things on the menu. Now there's only a few things, and they're mostly bland. So the man asks, what's going on here? When I first came here, this place was always open and used to serve me with a smile. And every time I come here, the place is locked up and the sign on the door says closed. And then the owner starts making all kinds of excuses. You know, I have to clean this place every month for a few days. He said, yeah, I know, but you always had to do that. Even then, you always at least gave me a good lip service. And she said, I'm older and more tired. And he says, so am I. But a few times you're open now, you're not even friendly. What's being tired have to do with that? And she mumbles and walks away. Man gets up and leaves, unhappy with the service and poor meal. As he walks down the road, he sees a restaurant with a sign that says, open 24 hours a day, fast and friendly service. What, ladies, do you think that man's going to do? You think he's going to keep going to the old place, only to find it locked? Or do you think he's going to say, ooh, check out this new place. I might just have to switch restaurants. Yes, ladies, adultery is wrong. But so is abandoning your husband and your wedding vows to love, honor, and yes, obey. You need to understand something about sex. And I'm saying this to both men and women. Sex is not about the physical. It's about the spiritual. Now, what I'm about to say may sound a little crazy, but just listen. Hear me out. The Bible says our spirits live within our blood. When your husband passes his semen into you, his blood that are in that semen literally carry his spirit into your body. You heard me right. Part of his living soul, who and what he really is passed into you and merges with your living spirit, which is in your blood. See, this is what the Bible really means when it says the two become one flesh. It's not talking about the body. If it was, as soon as the man physically pulled out, you would become two flesh again. See, it's funny because the Bible says God speaks in riddles sometimes, or as the King James calls it, dark speeches. See, the scripture foretold of Elijah coming first before Jesus to prepare the way for the Messiah. But as Jesus told his disciples, John the Baptist was the Elijah. Sometimes the Lord speaks in riddles so man's heart doesn't become proud. See, when man gets wisdom, he always tries to take credit for it. Look at scientists today. All the spectacular wonders of creation. They don't want to give glory to God. Oh, there was a big explosion. This all just happened by random chance. What nonsense. Only those humble enough get to understand God's secrets. So ladies, you want a soulmate. The only way is through sex. There's no other. This is also why you stay away from all other men. Men who aren't your husband. You're not to bond your soul with just anyone. This is not only immoral, but dangerous. See, Solomon engaged with sex with all kinds of wicked women, and it led him down the road to depravity, including willingly building altars to pagan gods. So you don't want to put out for every man, but you want to put out like an old hound dog for your husband. And if you want to keep him, you best not be hanging that sign in the window too often that says, closed for business.
We act like sex is nothing more than a toy, like a harmless toy gun, for example. When in fact, it's a potentially deadly weapon. Not only physically, but spiritually as well. Remember how Solomon was led astray by the immoral women he had sex with? He became a very depraved king. A king that not only was depraved morally, but was depraved spiritually in his relationship with God. He set up many altars of pagan gods and committed many acts against the Lord. And when the man of God told Jeroboam that he was going to take 10 tribes away from Solomon, Solomon, thinking that he could actually thwart the plans of God, sent men to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam fled. And when the time came and Solomon's son had become king, indeed, 10 of the tribes were taken away from Solomon's line. It's time we treat sex with respect. Sexual immorality has wrecked many people's lives. You don't think so? Just look at the many millions who haven't respected it. Look at the divorce rates. Look at the disease rates. Look at the rates of children out there with single-parent homes. It's time we get ourselves back to the Lord and rein in this appetite. The appetite is not to rule over us. No appetite is. We are to show discipline and control and rule over them.